T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction. Starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. It all starts right here, right now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's Sports Station, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
It is time for Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, baseball people. It is indeed 670 The Score, this hour of which is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. I am Matt Spiegel, joined in moments by Bruce Levine, right here on The Score, wishing you good morning as baseball talk continues 52 weeks a year, right here on The Score, Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday morning. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. The Yankees are gone, and the Tampa Rays have moved on. Poor Aroldis Chapman, said no one really ever. But that's just me.
Well, who would have thought that a local kid from Northwest Indiana would be the hero to the baseball world today? Mike Brusso hitting that bomb, that 100-mile-an-hour-plus home run off of Chapman after a 10-pitch at-bat. It was certainly what is romantic and what is fascinating and what is fun about sports and Major League Baseball. That was awesome.
It really was. And Chapman is the first pitcher ever to allow a series-winning home run in the eighth inning or later twice in his career. Last year to Jose Altuve in the ALCS Game 6, and then last night. So as great as his career has been, some memorable late postseason flameouts and disasters for Aroldis.
Yeah, you know what, Matt? You have to be pretty good to be allowed to do that.
I agree. And you have to have managers who made, I mean, basically Aaron Boone made the Joe Maddon move last night, put him in there to get an 8-out save in that situation. So it's tempting to use that weaponry for long periods, and sometimes it can bust you up. But, hey, that's playoff baseball with no Cubs and no White Sox. It doesn't mean we have no Cubs or White Sox to discuss, so.
No, we have plenty to discuss, so we'll get into both the White Sox and Cubs at length today. Larry Young, umpire supervisor, 25 years, a Major League umpire, will be joining us. Jim Cott, the great broadcaster for MLB Network and 25-year career as a Major League pitcher with 283 wins, will join us, talk about the playoffs as well as his relationship with the late Whitey Ford, who passed away yesterday at age 91, one of the greatest pitchers in Major League history. So lots to talk about. And as Matt said, you can join us at 312-644-6767. Text Matt at the same number as we are available to you throughout our show 52 weeks out of the year from 9 to 11.
Bruce, I know you spoke with Tom Ricketts this week, and we have some Theo Epstein that we can play from his press conference towards the beginning of the week, but I would love for you to share what you gleaned from that conversation and what the tenor seems to be of discussions to be between Tom Ricketts and Theo Epstein.
Well, first and foremost, he was very, very complimentary and satisfied with the job that Theo Epstein has done for the 9 years, both he and Jed Hoyer running the Chicago Cubs. And that came through quite a bit when I had my sit down with Tom and wrote that story in the Marquee Network, and it was also ran on here on The Score. You can also look at it there. But you know, from my perspective, Both from Theo's conversation with the media, the 62 minutes that he had on Monday, and the session I had with Tom on Tuesday, there was no conversation about the future other than that they're both have their eye on 2021, both ready and looking forward to trying to win again in 2021, but no mention of anything after that. And a lot of conversation from Theo that you'll hear coming up here about whether or not this is his last year or not. And in Tom's conversation, it was pretty matter of fact that we have 2021 to take care of. Theo's contributions have been great, and he did agree that all relationships eventually do come to an end.
Interesting. So, yeah, Theo mentioned very early on his theory with Bill Walsh, and we've talked about it a bit. Let's hear Theo, before we have some more of this conversation, let's hear Theo talking from earlier in the week, talking about how change is good and necessary for organizations.
Look, I've been transparent about, my feeling that after a certain period of time, there can be real benefit for both an individual leader and for the organization for change. And, I've not backed away. I think I mentioned it the first day I was a Cub and again, when I signed my second contract. So I'm not going to run away from those feelings, but I also am as invested in the Chicago Cubs as our leader in baseball operations today as I was at any point in the last 9 years. And I woke up this morning, thinking about how we can improve for next year and position ourselves for long-term success. But, given the things I'm on record with about, the benefits of change at a certain point, it just means that you have to be smart in discussing the timing and nature of a transition, because it's inevitable at some point.
So inevitable at some point. And I think what you said is spot on, Bruce. No mention from either of them about really anything beyond this. It's not like a true lame duck situation where, depending on how things go and how we feel, maybe it'll get extended and maybe we'll continue. Now, I think everybody knows that Theo's done at the end of 2021. And if you're him, it makes sense. And we can certainly think about what might be in his future. But if you're Tom Ricketts, why does it make sense to be ready to be done with the Theo Epstein regime, if you will, or Theo himself?
Well, I don't know if he necessarily is saying that Theo won't be back. I never heard that from Tom. All he said is that our concentration's on this year. The contract runs out. So the assumption on our part, and it's probably a good one, is that the relationship will end mutually after 2021. But I can tell you that the Cubs are hard at work. The baseball department is hard at work right now. Talking to their people, talking about trades and free agents, priorities, names that are out there already for their people to be looking at, and metrics department to break down and to help decide whether or not these are acquisitions or not. Looking at 2021's free agency after the year, and which of the big foot players that have been here for a long period of time, Matt, will continue to be here, which will be traded in this offseason if possible. So I know that they're hard at work in that. So it's not like, as you said quite well, it's not like the normal lame duck where, you're concerned if you're Tom Ricketts that you're going to get the very best out of Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and his people, because they have proved themselves to be guys that have taken this franchise to playoffs 5 of the last 6 years, won a World Series, 3 NLCS appearances, and there's nothing in their resume or in their work ethic that they've seen other than hard work and the willing to just win. And I think that in this day and age, because there's no contract after a certain year, that the assumption is that's bad. Okay. Maybe they don't view that way.
No, I don't think they do. And I think Theo never has. And I think he's very much trying to have this finish out on a good note, a conciliatory note, and leave things in a good place. with some honor and with some genuine care to leave it in good hands, especially if those hands belong to his longtime friend and mentee, Jed Hoyer. So it would make all the sense in the world. I think from Tom Riggett's perspective, look, you bought this team and kept Jim Hendry around for a while, surveyed the scene, and then figured out what you wanted to become and what you wanted to be. And you hired a guy who helmed a remarkable five-year rebuild. And look at everything that has changed with facilities, with the state-of-the-art level of the organization, with the income that is now available around the park. You figured out whether to stay or go and made all that happen on the strength of this. And you have the infrastructure in place to move forward. And a guy like Theo with Theo's price tag is not as necessary as it used to be for many, many levels of Tom Ricketts' goals.
So, Matt, going forward, I think the one incomplete area that Theo might want to complete this year is the ability to still compete with this group and then also make stealth moves as far as free agency and trade that will replenish the system where the minor league system has not been able to do that over the last 9 years. So from that perspective, I think that that's unfinished business as well as trying to win another world championship. I believe that is his goal here, that the people like Marquez and Davis and the minor leaguers that have some real worth that are on their way up eventually get here in another year or so, and that's followed by more young players that they've acquired via the draft, free agency, or trades. And I think that's, I would believe that is the underlying goal of Theo Epstein, to walk out this door next October or November, whether they're in the deep playoff, and feel great about the fact that he accomplished just about everything that they wanted to accomplish, and he left them in good shape.
So a goal to not be leaving the cupboard bare and leaving, you know, a decaying kind of empty shell of an organization.
Right.
No, you want to leave things in good shape. Well, you know, they've waited so long before dealing any members of the of this core and making some of those difficult decisions. So what you're saying, Bruce, lends itself to believe that this offseason will be very, very active for lots of reasons. Let's hear Theo talking about the roster and what might happen this offseason. And he says there are no untouchables, which has kind of always been what they've said, but maybe we're going to see that in practice a little bit more.
It is certainly still the case that there are no untouchables. You know, that's been our policy for 9 years, and I think the policy of most teams. And, you know, clearly, you know, some change is warranted and necessary. We have not performed up to our expectations offensively, and especially at the most important times of year, and sort of simply hoping for a better outcome moving forward doesn't seem like a thoughtful approach. So embracing some change, even significant change, is warranted.
We'll have a lot of time this offseason to break it down, preview it, and probably talk about things as they come, Bruce. But do you expect, you know, at least one of Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, Schwarber, Contreras to be in a trade this offseason?
I think if it makes sense. I mean, you know, the idea that they're going to rush them out the door and give them to the first team, I don't think that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
Even that if the New York Yankees, Matt, and if you look at the structure of the New York Yankees offense, needing a big left-handed power bat so desperately to mix up there against that right-handed lineup that kind of gets pushed around a little bit. You have good right-handed pitching teams. You know, if the with a great offer for Schwarber, you know, that is something that could possibly happen. If a team that was shortly looking to back up and that, somebody like that might be coming after Chris Bryant in the last year of his contract. Would they hesitate to trade these guys now? I don't think so. But will they give them away for nothing? I don't believe that's going to happen. It's going to have to make sense.
Going to have to make sense.
Only trading away 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
But you're only trading 1 year of contract control away. So what do you get back for that when a team is looking for a quick fix from one of these Bigfoot players that the Chicago Cubs may trade?
Yeah, that's it certainly made difficult because of that. Let's hear one more from Theo, Bruce, just before we take a break on the offense and what went wrong in terms of hitting fastballs, because they all struggled with high velocity fastballs, especially in the playoffs. Here's Theo.
We were getting beat in the strike zone by fastballs, and that's not something that had really happened in the past. So, you know, to me, when really good hitters are getting beat in the strike zone by fastballs, it means they're off. You know, they don't have their rhythm. They don't have their timing. They're caught in between. They don't have their confidence. They're not locked in with their approach. And obviously you guys watched us all year. Like we were struggling with that all year. Most of our hitters, we were struggling with that all year. And, you know, it had been a constant grind to bust out of that slump, team-wide and individually. A lot of work, a lot of creativity trying to find the answer, and it just didn't happen. So it wasn't like watching the same thing, except the results were painfully. But, you know, it was more troubling in that, you know, when you get beat by fastballs in the zone, then you don't have your foundation as a hitter, and is, you know, you're not likely to see a good outcome.
What's interesting there to me, Bruce, is the willingness to mention some of the abstract ideas like confidence, mm-hmm. like comfort level, like just off, being off. And as technical as these guys are, and as much as they like to think about the science of why, it feels like they are they're a little bit confused as to why it happened. And they feel like just the oddness of the season, the oddness of the situation somehow added up to a very difficult offensive showing.
And you know what? It was exacerbated, Matt, at Wrigley Field, where they only hit 210 as a team. It's shocking. But, you know, whether you believe the Baez concept of, hey, I'm an energy player. I play to the fans. We didn't have the video access that we needed in between bats. This is how we learn. This is how we get better. You know, he was careful to say, we're not making excuses for this, but in reality, he's trying to explain to you what was missing for him. So if that's planted in his mind about what's missing, and it comes out of his mouth, you know that, you know, there is something mentally wrong about the whole collective group going up there and approaching these fastballs. Now, Anthony Iaposi is considered one of the top batting instructors in baseball. I think this goes beyond the batting instructor. This is something that, you know, the mental skills aspects of what the Chicago Cubs are missing here from these fine players who just didn't hit anywhere near what they did in the past. Again, 60 games, really not enough to tell you that would have been going on the whole season. But nonetheless, that is what we're left with as a sample.
670 The Score is where you are. It's Inside the Clubhouse. I'm Matt Spiegel. He is Bruce Levine. If you want to hop in, 312-644-6767 is the phone number to either text or call, Bruce. And coming up later this hour, sir?
Larry Young, yes. Yes, our friend Larry Young, umpire supervisor, will join us. And then Jim Cott from MLB Network as well. Your calls at 312-644-6767. Text Matt at the same number.
Hop on in. It's Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He destroyed left-handed pitchers. Chapman, no regular lefty. 3-2. Brasseau sends one into left field. Gardner going back, and it is up and gone! Mike Brasseau has homered, and the Rays have a 2-1 lead. What a moment for Brasseau. Tampa Bay on top on the 10th pitch of the at-bat.
Here's the context for that one, and we thank TBS for the call. September 1st, Aroldis Chapman was given a two-game suspension for throwing a 101-mile-an-hour fastball near Mike Brasseau's head. And afterwards, Kevin Cash famously talked about how much the Rays hated the Yankees, and he and Aaron Boone with a war of words, a very feisty rivalry. And last night, Brasseau is the guy to homer on the 10th pitch of the at-bat off Chapman and put the Rays over the Yankees and into the ALCS. Kevin Cash said it was, quote, the greatest moment he has been a part of in baseball. So good stuff last night in the playoffs, Bruce Levine.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff. And a game like that, so exciting. You know, there were many games that weren't very exciting during the playoffs. Too much reliance on home runs from time to time, as we've seen during the regular season. But that was a great ending, and hopefully this is going to be a great postseason coming up here, being the ALCS, the NLCS, and the World Series here as we see baseball just about every day. A couple off days here today, maybe one that we'll see during the World Series, but mostly wall-to-wall baseball, which is exciting to me. Before we get to our good friend Larry Young, umpire supervisor, who will be joining us, Matt, I'm just going to take a time out to thank the people at the ballparks that made things happen for us all year long to be able to cover baseball in the press box around the park in a healthy and positive environment. From the Chicago Cubs, Julian Green, Peter Chase, Jason Carr, and Alex Wilcox. From the White Sox, Scott Reifert, Bob Bechtel, Ray Garcia, Billy Russo, Joe Rohde, Hannah Sunwall, Sheena Quinn. And also a special thank you and goodbye professionally to our good friend Peter Chase, who is leaving the Chicago Cubs after 14 years of being the media relations director. Without his valued help, many of us wouldn't have been able to do our jobs as effectively over these years. Peter's a great, great professional and a great person, and he will be missed. Also, Alex Wilcox from the Media Relations Department, who did a great job for us all the time he was there, is also leaving the Cubs. So just a special shout out to these people that made things happen for us in a safe and friendly environment this year at the ballparks.
I'm glad you did that. And I didn't realize that both Peter and Alex were going. So, yeah, they've been great to work with. So
yeah, fantastic.
Bruce, it was a really, really odd year for you guys. And it's really remarkable when you think about it that we've gotten this far and that the season's actually happened and that the postseason rolls on as it does now into the final four phase of the Major League Baseball playoffs. You're listening to Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Our next guest joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park.
Umpire supervisor for 25 years, a Major League umpire, and a good friend of myself, Matt, and the show, Larry Young, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing good. I don't know if you caught that game last night, but that home run by the kid from Northwest Indiana, Mike Brasseau, pretty exciting way to end that series and push Tampa toward the ALCS. Pretty exciting stuff. I'm sure you enjoyed it if you did see it.
Yeah, I watched the whole game. That was my crew, actually, that was working last night. So, yeah, I watched the whole game. It was great.
Larry, as far as your job goes, you know, what we see at the ballparks, you're analyzing and talking to your the umpires because of your job as a supervisor on a daily basis. You go from ballpark to ballpark, as do the other umpire supervisors. There's a few in the game. How did your job change this year with everything going virtual?
Well, big time. We still did a lot of analyzing and talking to the umpires, but haven't been to a game in person, nor has any other supervisor this year. So we're doing everything remotely. But as you know, Bruce, my job is largely international. And in a normal year, I would be traveling all over the world. And this year, there was nothing. So I was just listening to you a little while ago, and I'm amazed as well that we got this far in the season, that we got the season off the ground, and we're at this point right now. It's just incredible.
Larry, fill people in on how this works with you as an umpire supervisor. You're working on behalf of the league. What is the goal for you as you deal with these crews? And when you say that's my crew, how many crews do you specifically work with during the course of a year?
Well, we have 17 crews, so we split them up amongst the other supervisors. I had primary responsibility of four, but ultimately all 17. And then, as I said, normally I would have international duties. And then some of us, I haven't done it for some time, but some of us deal with our minor league system. And our minor league system really came into play this year as we had 12 of our senior umpires opt out of the season for various reasons. And we had to bring up young umpires. Some were ready. Some were a couple years away from being ready, we thought. But they really stepped out, and they were the key to our success this year.
Larry, you know, now that the technology on television and everything else is so good, broadcasters have changed their philosophy, and they pretty much they re-umpire. And I'm not saying every broadcaster does it, but a lot of broadcasters do it now more than ever, as far as saying that's not a strike. That looks like a ball. This is, you can't call a strike here. How has the sensitivity and the reality of re-umpiring by broadcast people and then again fans changed the profession and the way that your umpires look at it, that you as a umpire supervisor look at it? How has it changed?
Well, I really don't pay any attention to the broadcasters. In fact, I normally turn the sound down, to be quite honest with you, because sometimes it's so unfair. Ironically, a lot of the Chicago broadcasters are great. I'm not going to single anybody out, but they know who they are. They're great. But some aren't around the country, so I normally tune them out. They go by the box that's put on TV. We're not really sure how accurate that box is. We have another system that we use that's very accurate, and it's very different. The results are very different from the TV. So we don't pay any attention to the box on TV, but we do have our own system that we use for training and evaluation.
Well, see, that's fascinating because every network obviously has their own box, and they look different, and the camera positions are different. So, you know, is there anything that we see as consumers that approximates the legitimacy of the strike zone that you guys try to teach and enforce? Like, do we have access to anything that is actually similar to what you're looking for as a strike zone?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think there's an app out there that MLB has. I don't know the technicalities of that. I've got my hands full working on the computer as it is. But I think there might be something out there by MLB, but I'm not sure. But I do know that we don't pay attention to the accuracy of the boxes on TV.
As far as the electronic home plate umpire, Larry, what is the position of Major League Baseball that you know of? What is the position of you as a umpire supervisor? And then what is the position of you as a former big league umpire for 25 years and the reality, good, bad, or indifferent?
I'm sorry, you cut out there. You're talking about replay?
No, I'm asking you about whether or not in reality, electronic umpires are a thing of the future. Is it inevitable?
I don't know. There's been talk about it. I was so proud of our guys thus far in the playoffs and during the season. You know, we're averaging 98% correct on our system. I don't know how much more perfect you can be, and I'm not so sure that the technology would even come close to that. So I think the technology we have right now was used in the Atlantic League, and it'll probably be used more next year. And if there is an Atlantic League next year, I don't think it's ready yet, but I think it could be used in the future. The umpires union has signed off on it. They're okay with it if it comes to pass. So, you have to change with the times.
The strike zone, Larry, I'm fascinated by this, is because the box is what will always, show you in two dimensions where the pitch finishes. But you guys are looking at where it crosses the plate. How do you define the spot of where the strike zone actually is?
Well, it's at the bottom of the knee, and it's at a point the height is midpoint between the letters and the belt. So that is our strike zone. We try to stay consistent with them. I think the machines are pretty close. All the machines are pretty close on the corners. They show you outside, inside. Up and down is where we have discrepancies.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of where it is, like, when you see a ball hit the catcher's mitt, are you thinking about where it is when it hits the mitt, or are you thinking about where it was that split second before, if it was breaking a little higher or a little lower?
Well, it's both, really. If you can catch a breaking pitch that broke high, there were a couple last night that were started out high and then dipped down, you have to decide whether it dips too late or if it dips in time to cross the batter. So it's not an exact science, and it's not an easy job.
Larry, explain the and Larry Young, by the way, who is an umpire supervisor joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. Larry, can you explain the merit system as to how umpires get postseason duties and how that ends up? Because there is a couple umpires out there that are favorite whipping boys for many people out there and have been for a number of years, and wonder why they end up in a certain playoff games. Can you explain how that merit system works?
Well, I think, first of all, I think an umpire's reputation is established in his first few years, and that reputation stays with you for a long time, good or bad. So we have some people that started out, struggled, and then became more proficient at their job, but that reputation remained the same. We know that, but I don't think a lot of fans know that, and I don't think a lot of the media know that. So necessarily the whipping boys for the fans and broadcasters are not the same as they are for us. We look at people on their merit. We look at people what kind of year they had each year. Each year is a clean slate, and it's very subjective, and sometimes some people that are deserving of playoff assignments don't get them because we just don't have enough numbers.
Is it also tenure as far as what assignments you get?
No. We can have, 3-4 year umpires working in the playoffs as far as 3-4 year veterans. We try to mix it up. We try to get some new people in every year just so they can have that experience and carry it on. So it's kind of a mix of veterans and younger people.
Hmm. But each year is its own, huh? So if somebody has a history of something, if they've righted the ship and had a great year, they get rewarded for that.
Pretty much. Sometimes we look to see if they put together a string of 2 or 3 years. But yeah, most generally, it's a clean slate.
Larry, in closing with you, Matt and I really appreciate you hopping on, and you know your continued friendship throughout these years as well. As far as COVID and how it impacted umpires, you know, we notice, just like with players, some umpires did wear masks at certain times, some did not. The concern was the home plate umpire, catcher, and batter as far as contracting, you know, the illness. How do you think it all, you know, fared out? And were there certain guidelines that were flexible as far as masking, distancing, very difficult situations in this year of the COVID?
There's very strict regulations, and I think our medical department did an incredible job getting us to this point. All the umpires were required to wear a mask on the field. We did notice a handful of times when we got into arguments, the umpires forgot to wear their PPEs and their masks weren't worn, and we weren't happy about that. But for the most part, our guys did an incredible job. Right now, all of our people that are working these playoffs and are working the World Series have been quarantined. And they were quarantined for 10 days before they worked the series. So they've been quarantined inside the hotel rooms, as the players have, for a long time. They've been away from their families for a long time. You know, they really have really put themselves in the front line, and they've done just an awesome job. And the big important thing is they're healthy. They're not sick from COVID right now, and they're doing a great job.
Larry, we appreciate it very much. I have a great off season. I hope we get to see each other sometime. The worst part of this for people in baseball and sports is that you don't get to see your friends anymore. You don't get to see hardly anybody. I guess you can say that about everybody in life right now. But these are valued relationships that we miss. Keep healthy, keep happy, and thanks again for joining Matt and I on Inside the Clubhouse today.
Yeah, I hope we can have dinner next year and up in the press box of the Cubs or the White Sox. And stay healthy, and hopefully we'll see each other next year.
Thank you, Larry. Take care. Larry Young, umpire supervisor, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. Matt, and some interesting things there. I think, you know, the inevitability of an electronic home plate umpire is fascinating to me, and something that I imagine in the next 5 years we're going to see.
Yeah, I think so. They just got to get the technology dialed in. It's so interesting how the broadcast has skewed things for people, because you see that box and think that's what you're seeing. I want what they have. I want what the umpires are looking at. Full on transparency. Maybe it's a lot to ask, but I'd like to know. That's for sure, because I just want to be as smart as I can be while watching these games. Good stuff. See, Bruce Levine knows everybody. Listen to that. Listen to those relationships.
Yeah, well, right, so do you now.
some of it just through you, though, you know? That's how that works.
Well, what's better than that? I'm not going to live to be 200. You know, you'll be doing this by yourself at some point.
Just leave the Rolodex, is all I'm saying.
No problem. Adam's got it if you need it.
At top of the hour, we're going to talk to another one of those Bruce friends, Jim Cott. Now, that Jim Cott, one of the very few four-decade players in the history of MLB, started in 59 and lasted into the 80s. You know who the two other guys who played from the 50s through the 80s are? It's a really good list.
What do you think about Tim McCarver?
They're very good. Tim McCarver, Jim Cott, and?
And one more.
One more.
50s through 80s, right?
Yeah.
50s through 80s. You know, I'm blanking on the third one. Go ahead.
Hall of Famer, first baseman, Willie McCovey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Came up in 59.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So Cott McCarver.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Sure is.
Pretty amazing. Amazing careers from all. So you're right, Jim Cott, the MLB broadcaster and author of 283 wins without being in the Hall of Fame, will be joining us at the top of the hour.
670, The Score is where you are. It's Inside the Clubhouse. He's Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. Keep it right here. Welcome back in on 670, The Score. It's Inside the Clubhouse. I'm Matt Spiegel. He is Bruce Levine. Earlier in the hour, we played some Theo Epstein from his press conference earlier in the week. And next hour, Bruce, let's get to Ozzie Guillen, who had some very interesting things to say on the Mully and Haw show this week about potential managerial jobs and openings and candidates, including himself. Worth a listen, I think, for anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Matt, I still have trouble finding the games on TV, especially the way it started, you know, what station it's on. I think one thing Major League Baseball has to do is do a better job of letting people know where these games are at. I don't know how they do it. I know they talk about it on all the different stations. They advertise for each other. But, you know, finding when games are on the MLB network as opposed to TBS, FS1, Fox, you know, very difficult for the baseball fan. I think something that's a little bit frustrating just to try to find exactly where these games are.
Yeah, I think it's true that you have to figure out whatever cable system or however you're using it, there's a button just to get to the sports, and then it should just show up there for you, regardless of what number the channel is. But it's a different way of doing things that everybody has to adjust to as the technology develops.
All right, looking forward to that next hour. Again, 312-644-6767. You want to talk to me, Matt, talk about anything baseball. We're here for you 52 weeks out of the year from 9 to 11. And Jim Cott, our next guest coming up, Matt.
And that's what we'll do next. Talk about Whitey Ford and a whole bunch of other stuff with Jim Cott next on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.